You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy Wednesday, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, April 17th, episode 3412.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic. Horse health. And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world. Happy Wednesday.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. Dr. Claire is going to be with us today, and she's going to talk about transitioning your horses to spring pastures and doing it safely, which is very pertinent right now to my fat little pony Scooter, who is eating all the grass and getting fatter by the minute, and we'll be talking about that and what signs to look for when it's too fat. Animal communicator Leslie is going to stop by. I saw her over the weekend, Jamie. She was there with a booth at the Equine Affair.
And, nice.
Today is going to be a very special day because she's going to read Jamie's new pony, Taco Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be good. I'm actually so excited about the potential of actually getting any information that I can. So you guys stick around because I don't think it's going to be a typical reading. And if it is a typical reading, I might have to step up a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I've got questions for Taco, yeah. Okay? I've got questions.
Basically, our whole pre-show meeting was Jamie talking about the questions she needs to hear from Taco. So
I've got questions.
Before we get to all of that, I wanted to mention some of you with Apple Podcasts, and even Jamie said this morning, that your podcasts are not updating. And I've heard from several of you about the Horses in the Morning not updating, but you said you're having that problem with a bunch of podcasts, right?
Yeah, just a lot of them. The Horses in the Morning isn't updating. And then the other one that I listen to every day that's like local news, like it never updates. So I have to go in and like refresh everything constantly.
Apparently there was an update on Apple. There were a couple people I know that have fixed it by rebooting their phones, just restarting their phones. One person had to actually start over with her Apple Podcasts app. The one other one I talked to gave up. You know, if you're going to give up, remember, Apple Podcasts breaks every time they do an update to their
iOS. And they did just give you an update.
Yes. And you know it breaks every time. We've had this conversation 100 times. If you decide to bail on Apple Podcasts, then two of the good ones are Podcast Addict or Pocket Casts. Either one, I've used them both. I'm currently a Podcast Addict fan.
And that's just an app you download that will then download your podcasts.
Yeah, and it actually does. I use Podcast Addict, and it actually does more than Apple Podcasts does. There's a lot more settings, which makes it a little more complicated to figure out.
Is it free?
I think I'm using the free one. You can, and they have little banner ads on it, but that's it. I mean, you can get a paid one without the banner ads, but I don't care. So I use the free one, and you can put the RSS feed in manually for the post show for the auditors. So if you're looking for another solution, remember, Apple does this to you every time, and you guys always forgive Apple, and then wait till they fix it. Just bail.
No, we're just lazy. I'm so used to hitting the purple button.
Get out. Do something different. All right. And also, I wanted to mention somebody that passed away in the last couple of days. Her name is Gloria Austin. Gloria was a regular on the driving radio show with Wendy and I. Like, she came on maybe 40 times. She was
always an icon of driving.
Oh, she is.
She is the icon of driving.
She had more knowledge than 100 people about horses and carriages. She wrote like 10 different books. David Saunders, who's been on the show many, many times, was her coachman for a number of years. That's how I met her, was through David.
And he was the coachman for the Queen.
Right, exactly. And Gloria drove with the Queen and was in a couple of the royal parades and things. She was a driver of the biggest coaches that you could find. She was a four-in-hand driver. And she was just the most well-known person in the whole driving community. it was because of her that I got to drive a four in hand. The only four in hand, which is four horses, that I've ever driven was actually thanks to Gloria being brave and letting me do it. I didn't crash, but I think it got close.
You broke something.
She took the reins away after a bit. Let's just put it that way. And she had the most beautiful PREs and a bunch of other breeds over the years. But she, you know, she drove at the Queen's Jubilee. She also had one of the largest carriage collections in the world that she housed right down here at Black Prong. And I'll tell you what, it was the coolest thing when we got to tour the carriage collection. She had the golden coach that many people have seen pictures of. She sold the carriage collection a couple of years ago and was starting to scale down a bit. But she also, a lot of people don't realize this, her money came from her and her first husband started the Paychex Corporation back in, I think it's the 1960s or 70s, which is a Fortune 500 company now. And she sold that. And that's pretty much where her, but so she was smart. I mean, it was her and her husband that did that. She was one of the first women to found a corporation that went to the Fortune 500. So she was a smart cookie too. And her son had autism, so she really was highly influential in that area and advocating for better resources for families and put a lot of money into that. So, you know, rest in peace, Gloria. You did your job here and you did it well. And well, all the entire driving community is thinking about you today, and she will be missed. All right, let's do some daily winnings. We have three birthdays today of our auditors, Sherry Olson, Patricia Clark, and Jane Tomsich. Also, a brand new auditor, Mary Kadar. So thank you, Mary, for joining the party. We appreciate it, and happy birthday to the rest of you.
So it might be the first time ever, but I think I made a mistake on the show. So I just wanted to retract.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's the first time.
I'm sure it was the first.
3,400 episodes.
I mean, every once in a while, the best short stuff lets one get by him. Okay. So I think I screwed up. And I told you guys we're having the Movement 2024 at Monty Roberts Farm. And I think I told everybody the wrong weekend. So the weekend is actually June 21st through the 23rd. And I know I told you a little bit about it, but I also kind of screwed something else up. So Robert Dutesco, he has been an internationally acclaimed artist who like has photographed the Sable Island horses. He is going to be coming to the Movement with his art and putting on like an entire art show. And the photographs and interactive nature of this art exhibit are insane. I saw him in New York City when I was there with Pat and Monty. So check it out. And so he's going to be there. I'm going to be there. We're going to have a PS of Sweden, bridle, saddle fitting, saddle pads, all the things. And there's going to be a lot of training horses with Monty and I. The date is January 21st to the 23rd. It's at Monty's Farm in California. You can get tickets now. And I just noticed that they have the Movements that in the past on demand. And I just told Chad for $9.95, he can watch the Movement 2023. I think that's probably the most similar that because it had a lot more horse training. And I rode a bunch of horses for Monty and I rode his like fancy horses and stuff. And
isn't
anyway,
Chad tired of seeing you ride?
He doesn't watch me ride. He plays golf, Glenn. Shut up. Or I'll have been riding for an hour and he'll come down and he'll be like, I'll be getting off. And he's like, you done already? Like, good Lord. So, yeah. So, no, the movie, you can go on and watch on demand. If you just go to moneyroberts.com, you can see the Movement and you can look at all of them for $9.95. You can watch it and check it out and see if it'd be something you're into. It's like training horses. And we're going to have a lot of wild horses. This time's kind of a wild horse theme, but also restarting a bunch of off the track thoroughbreds. And it's just such a fun weekend. I think Jared Rogerson, I think, is going to perform one of the nights as well. And it's going to be just super fun, just like last year, Glenn, when you were there. So anybody who wants to come again, sorry, I screwed up the dates. It is the, let's see here again. See, I can't get into my brain. June 21st to the 23rd.
And you can get tickets now on the website.
MontyRoberts.com/movement.
Okay.
You'll see it.
Very good. And also, if you're heading out next week with Jamie, she's going to be getting together for dinner. We talked about that on Monday night. But also, State Line Tax is going to be there, set up in the old indoor at the top level. They're always in the same spot. They were at Equine Affair in the same spot as well. And I'm sure they had some stuff left from Equine Affair, although there were a lot of State Line bags floating around. So head on over next week if you're at the shopping mecca of Kentucky next week. Check out State Line Tax booth. They have a lot of things on sale. And if you can't get there, then go to the website right now. They have a clearance going on. And if you spend $29, you get an extra 25% off. And if you spend $79, you get an extra 50% off marked products. And you can click on the big pink banner at the top of the page to find those. StateLineTax.com.
And you mentioned the dinner we're going to be at there. Again, that's the 26th. Anybody listening, please, I did get a couple emails after the show last time. Good. Please let me know if you want to come. It's going to be at Ramsey's Diner, which is a Kentucky staple, but there's different locations. So we're going to be at the Masterson Station location at 6:30 on Friday the 26th. If you're coming to Rolex Land Rover Defender Kentucky 3-Day, then that is where you would come hang out with us. Please don't make me sit in a restaurant all by myself.
And I think that's on the side of the town where the Secretariat statue is. So you guys can all check that out at the same time.
I know. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Don't get killed by the traffic, though. It's in the middle of a roundabout.
I thought you were going to say, don't get killed by Secretariat. I'm like, pretty sure you don't run him.
The traffic around Secretariat might kill you. All right. Coming up next is our regular. Her name is Leslie. She's from ispeaktoanimals.com. And she's going to chat up this time about Jamie's brand new pony, Taco. Well, hey, Leslie, thanks for showing up today. I don't know about you, but I'm still a little tired from Equine Affair over the weekend.
Yes, and I'm today I am unpacking just so I can pack to go to the Midwest Horse Fair.
Well, good luck with that. I'm glad I'm not going away this weekend. So, Leslie, we didn't get to talk much because the place was packed. You were doing readings. Every time I walked by, you were doing a reading.
Yes, at one point I had a waiting time of an hour and 45 minutes. So it was just amazing how patient people were. It was great.
Yeah, there were a lot of people. It was busy, Jamie.
That had to be exhausting, like to channel all that and like get all that in your brain. And then, oh my gosh.
You know, it's funny because at the show, I get like it kind of all jazzed and hyper. And as I leave the show, I'm thinking, I'm bouncing. I'm like, oh, that was so great. And as soon as I sit down to eat, I almost fall asleep.
The sugar high is over and you're done.
Yeah. The first time I did the show, I didn't have my assistant there because I didn't know what it was going to be like. And I literally fell asleep at the restaurant.
Oh, man. Yeah, that has to be exhausting.
You needed an assistant this year. That's for sure.
Well, yeah, luckily, I don't travel without her anymore.
Now, normally, we would have a listener on, and you would do a reading for a listener's horse, but Jamie kicked the listener out this month. And
I know, I'm taking over. You get to talk to my pony, Taco.
All right, I'll let you two go,
it's
go for it.
It's a privilege, right, of being a host. You get to override.
So, yes, Leslie, we're going to talk to my pony, Taco. I sent you some pictures of him, which is like basically all you're required to connect with him. I find that amazing. So what's his deal?
Yeah. Can you tell me how old he is?
That's one of my questions that I have for him.
Okay.
On the list, actually.
All right. How long have you had him?
I've had him for a couple months now. I got him in back in February, and he was supposed to be 8, which I think he's fairly close to 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you said that, he looked at me and he said 10.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But okay. Keep in mind,
I guess 16.
There you go. There you go. Keep in mind that they're really good about short times, like if they say, oh yeah, 2.5 weeks ago, this happened or that happened, they're usually pretty close on. But when it comes to age, all animals, not just horses, but they all kind of suck. And I don't know if it's like names and ages. They just, I think they just don't care, or it's relative to them or something. So he's, you know, given me his best guess, but he said 10 like that.
Well, you mentioned names. I named him Taco. So does he have a name?
So you're going to laugh. He says his name is Malcolm.
Okay. Malcolm.
Which doesn't really seem to fit, to be honest. No,
first I went to Malcolm in the middle. So
there you go. He is kind of nodding like, yeah, I'm not sure it fits either. So this is funny because he has a very funny sense of humor. He said, yeah, my name should be more like Thor. And then he said, or more appropriately, Loki, which okay. I think is the god of mischief or something. So he's quite feisty.
Okay. Well, I'm going to then jump in and say and ask him, why is he so grumpy? Because he does not come across as silly at all. He is not a silly pony. He is an angry pony. I mean, he's like in his world, like he's compliant, but he doesn't like you, and he's not silly, and he's not happy, and he's just like, it took me weeks to be able to even touch him. And now now he likes to come and eat food, but he's an angry elf, you know?
Yep. No, he's not silly. He does have a funny sense of humor, but it hasn't come out yet for sure. I said feisty, but you're right. I think that was a polite way of saying he's kind of an a-hole right now. But he is confused about where he is and what he's doing. So he's not sure if he's at like training or, and he's leaving and going back or what. Now, where did you get him? Because he's not wanting to go back.
Yeah, no, he won't go back. You can tell him he won't go back there.
Yeah. What?
So
somewhere not pleasant because he's going, I don't want to go back.
Yeah, it was not pleasant. His experience I only know about the previous 2 weeks of his life because they'd only had him for 2 weeks and it was not a pleasant situation for him. I mean, again, like he was probably getting fed and stuff, not a ton, but he was ridden very harshly and, and he came with some wounds, and I would love to ask you if he can tell me anything about what he has on his throat, like in the middle of his neck, halfway through. It looks like he had a tracheotomy, is what my vet. We x-rayed it and everything. And I don't know what that is. And I can't find that out. And I just didn't know if for some reason he would communicate that. Not that he would know because he's probably sedated when it happened, but like any details about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. He says that, yes, he had a pretty rough upbringing. I think that he had a job working on a farm, if you know what I mean. And it was pretty tough. And he doesn't, as you know, he does not respond well to any kind of heavy-handedness. He digs in and shuts down.
Yes, and that is very accurate.
Yeah. And so when he would do that, they would get more heavy handed about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they had at one point, he's showing me that they had almost like a lasso around his neck and someone pulling one way and another one with another lasso around his neck pulling the other way.
Okay.
Almost like crest ties, but with like lassos or something. And he is like rearing up, trying to get away. And he said that they just like yanked really hard. And then he's showing me So you can hear me going, oh my God. He's showing me that he couldn't, was having a hard time breathing. So I think they like crushed something, like his larynx or something, or that windpipe or something. And he said he went down like a ton of bricks. And he doesn't remember a lot after that. And he's actually shocked that they got him vet help. Because they don't usually, he says. So, very sad situation. So, he said that it didn't go well because the more he would resist, the more pressure and heavy handedness they would use. And he said, so not only were they not helping, but he said, I also was not helping. So, he's got a big trust issue, as you know, you have already mentioned, and that's kind of obvious. He said that he is actually starting to come around. He said in the last 2 days, he has noticed that he feels like he realizes that this is where he's going to be and that you actually are trying to help. So I think you might have even said to him, look, buddy, I'm only trying to help, or something like that. Because he said that he actually stopped and went to himself, well, she actually does seem to be trying to help. He said he just like would not recognize it before. So I'll be very curious to keep in contact with you about this and see if it does get any better. Now, I don't think it's going to be like a 180 starting today, but I do think that he is starting to realize that that you actually are trying to help him, but he's still confused. So I'm basically telling him that you have rescued him and you want to give him a good home. And you want to help him and you want him to feel comfortable.
Did you let him know that the medicine I'm sticking in his mouth is good for him? I'm spending money on Gastrogard for this pony and he is violent about taking it. And I mean, it's just all trust issues. When I got him, he had lacerations in the corners of his mouth from the heavy-handedness experience. And he won't take a bit, anything like that. He's getting better, but like not tons better. So I guess a question is that I would have for him is, first of all, I want to know if anything hurts. And second of all, I would like to know what he would like to do.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes. So he still has some issues left over from his throat where he feels like if he could, if you could hear him talk, his voice is kind of a little bit lower because of it. He says he can still, he can breathe fine and everything now, but he notices like sometimes he has to like clear his throat. He also says that his right back leg has some injuries that do seem to be getting a bit better, but he thinks he might need some sort of massage or acupuncture or something. He said that it just flares from time to time. So it's not constant pain, but it comes and goes. So he said, keep an eye on his back right leg.
Okay.
He also, so does he have a lot of stomach issues? Because he's showing me kind of being a little, little queasy, little sensitive. A sensitive stomach is probably a better way to say it.
You know, I don't know. I just, when I get horses and I get their teeth done and I get them on some tummy meds. So he was on a, like a feed through oral supplement for the last 8 weeks. It's a big gallon thing that you sold on Facebook and it has done zero. So I just started on Ulcer Guard just because he just is so guarded and angry. So I'm, so yeah, I mean, I'm definitely treating that if he would stop violently fighting me. And I train horses to get over this. Like, this has been the most challenging equine that I have put my hands on, because he's compliant to a point, and then he's just like, no, no. But then he's like, okay, but I like it when you scratch my ear, but like, don't touch my face. Like, it's super weird. So,
It sounds like what he's asking for is time.
But, I think he's also, likes it when you do talk to him and tell him, you know, that you're trying to help him. He says that he wants to trust you. He said he just has all this baggage, but I am telling him to please take the medicine because you want to help and that it's for his best good. And he looked at me like, sure. Like, sure it is. Sure it is.
So what does he want to do in life? Like, I thought I'd make him into this fancy little, because he's super nice mover. Like, I thought I could turn him into. So he worked at a cattle feedlot, and they put him on Facebook for sale. And he was exactly what I was hoping to get, although he ended up being quite a bit shorter than they said. But whatever, I still would have bought him because he needed me. But he had only been with them for 2 weeks because they traded their mule for him. Like, that's what they told me. And then they took him hog hunting. And he works cattle auction feedlots, like with these lacerations on his face. And they were like, oh, he won't take a bridle. I'm like, I can fix that. Well, yeah, we'll see. So I guess I'm what does he want to be when he grows up? What do you want?
Yeah. Yeah. He said he does want to have a job, but he isn't ready for any of that, of course, as you know. But he said that he thinks he could do a few things. He says that he's showing me like some sort of competition where you almost do like a agility course with them, kind of thing.
Like an in-hand thing or mounted?
Mounted.
Okay.
So he's showing me, like, you know how those dogs go through the poles and they weave back and forth? He's showing me something like that.
They have those. Monty has the right in the middle of his field there, Jamie.
I see my working equitation 13-2 hand grade pony whose neck hurts. Yeah, this tell him to keep thinking. What else?
Okay. He says that he kind of wants to be ridden once he can get over all his fear and everything. So he was thinking, he said, I don't know if I'd be like, he said, I think I'm more than just a trail pony. He said he thinks that that's not a bad job, but it's kind of boring. So he wants something a little more challenging. So he said, well, what about like riding and shooting or something? So what is that called where they like shoot balloons and stuff while they're riding the horse?
Yeah, mounted archery. Mounted shooting. Mounted shooting.
Mounted shooting. Okay.
To the girl, I love that you got this funny because Jamie hates guns. I think this is perfect.
If anybody would like to adopt Taco Tuesday and take him, make him a mounted shooter and an agility horse, that'd be great. Just give me a couple months to get him to trust me. We'll talk.
It couldn't have been more ill-fitting, actually.
Yeah. It's not his fault. I mean, if that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants to do. But I, you know, I mean, so my, what other questions did I have?
We're running out of time. We've actually run out of time. So
I know.
I'm going to be, the first thing I'm going to do is order Jamie a 45 pistol, and I'll be sending that over. Leslie, thank you. Where can people find you to do some readings?
They can go to my website at ispeaktoanimals.com.
ispeaktoanimals.com. Awesome. Thank you for
doing this. You're such a good sport. I mean, you know, you didn't know I had this grumpy, angry pony who like just hates everything and everybody. And he came from this horrible situation. And, you know, you never ask any of that stuff before we start. So thank you for being such a good sport and tolerating Taco in your brain.
And I will Malcolm. Talk to him a little bit more after the fact and just, you know, try to get him to let down his guard and be a little more trustful of you and tell him, you know, that you're only there to help. So,
oh my God, yes, please just tell him I'm here to help. I'm not here to hurt him, and to just relax. Just relax.
Absolutely. And keep in touch. Let me know how he does.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Have fun at the weekend.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together the top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more, featuring top experts including five-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, International Grand Prix dressage competitor Anna Baffini, Olympic dressage team bronze medalist Laura Graves, and many more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit equestrianplus.com to subscribe.
Our Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. And coming up, returning to the show, we have Dr. Claire Thunes, who's going to join us to talk about transitioning your horse to spring pasture and how to do that safely. Dr. Claire, thanks again for joining us. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to be back.
Okay. Spring pasture is the time of year that my pony, well, and I hate it too, because then I get crap over my pony being too fat. My pony, you know, starts eating the grass. He loves grass. He's a Hackney pony. He loves food. So, you know, and then he gets really fat, and then Jamie picks on me, and everybody says he's too fat, and I have to hear crap from everybody, including my wife. So we actually tried the muzzle on him yesterday, which he just wants to bite my head off for.
So he loves it so much.
Yeah, he just loves his muzzle. So let's talk about transitioning horses and ponies to spring pasture when the grass starts to grow again and how we should do that safely.
Yes, it's an important topic because it's not just, you know, not just fat that we worry about, right? Ultimately, it's far worse than being fat that we really worry about, which in we worry about colic, right? If you do it too fast, you can really upset the bugs in the hindgut and what have you and end up with diarrhea and colic and gas and all that good stuff. And then, you know, there's always the risk, especially in the pony population, of laminitis as well. That's the big one, right? So, yes, we don't like fat ponies, but there's some scary and nasty stuff that can come with too much spring pasture if we're not careful with certain horses.
So what should you do? Should you, you know, put them on it slowly, an hour or two a day? You know, what do you recommend?
I actually, yeah, let me before,
yeah, go ahead.
As the grass starts to come up, I'm like, okay, well, they're eating slowly because it's just tiny. And then as it gets bigger, will they be used to it by then or do I need to do more?
I guess that's really a thing, right? Is like, have they been out on like pastoral winter and there just wasn't very much there? And so they're sort of self-adjusting as the grass comes in, or are you in a situation where, you know, they come off the grass all winter and they're stalled or in, you know, dirt lots, and then they go get put back out in the pasture in the spring when the grass, when there's more grass out there. So that's sort of a great point. But I mean, I think on the, you know, it's really important to understand the individual horse that we're dealing with, because some of that, and it runs into a lot of people saying, oh, but there's really not anything out there, or oh, it's really short, or what have you. But you know, if you have a really sensitive individual, especially if you have, you know, a horse or pony that has what we call insulin dysregulation, that can, you know, that really short grass can actually be quite high in sugar, and that can trigger those horses into a bout of laminitis. So even when there doesn't seem to be much out there, we sometimes have to be careful with certain individuals. But generally, when we're introducing horses to pasture, the safest way to do it, and sort of, you know, what many of us recommend is actually even as little as like 15-minute increments. So, you know, 15 minutes the first day, 30 minutes the second day, 45 minutes the third day, or what have you. So, you know, that might be tricky for a lot of people, right? A lot of people have to go to work and you know, to pay for their horse habit. It's
not really weird.
Yeah, I know, right? To, you know, be able to do that necessarily. So, you know, starting this on, you know, maybe a Friday is a good idea, or like a Saturday where you're around and kind of can do those little things. Or maybe actually it's easier to do it initially, you know, mornings or evenings after work. Maybe you've got 15 minutes in your day where you can just hang out and like hand graze them or whatever for that length of time, or half an hour. Or so maybe you start on a Thursday and do Thursday, Friday, and then, you know, try to plan it so that you're, you know, 2 hour bout or whatever it is when you're around more on the weekend. And then generally once they get up to being out there for about 4 hours, we kind of consider at that point they're pretty well adjusted and you can leave them out for longer periods without worrying so much.
What do you look for? So if what signs are you looking for to tell if they're getting too much? What are the first indications?
I mean, it is that kind of weight. I mean, unfortunately, it is sometimes creeps up on us, and it's hard when we see our horses every day. I don't think we're always the best judge of our horse's condition necessarily when we see them every day, especially on the, you know, when they're getting at the fatter end of the scale. I think we're all pretty quick to notice if they're getting a little too lean, but the excess weight can kind of creep up without us realizing necessarily. So I think it's a really good discipline to, you know, be in the habit of putting a weight tape on them, I'd say at least once a month, you know, really condition scoring them, right? So there's something called body condition scoring, where we're looking at the fat coverage over 6 different areas of their body to see what that looks like. And then the other area that's quite interesting, and I actually don't do so much with, but there's something called crusty neck scoring. And crusty necks are an indicator of, you know, can be an indicator of obesity. And it seems that, you know, some of these horses that are insulin dysregulated are a little prone to developing what we call a crusty neck. And so that's definitely something that I watch for. You know, I see that in my daughter's pony sometimes when he runs on the heavier side. His neck's a little more crusty. He kind of has squishy fat deposits along the top of his neck where his mane grows out. And, you know, I always tell clients, I'm like, if that feels like memory foam, that's fat, right? Fat feels like memory foam.
Okay. Like, Scooter's really insulted right now. I'm telling you, Scooter's mad right now.
My Andalusian is like, yes, I have memory foam neck. That's what that is. It's memory foam.
Right? Right. And some of it is, you know, some of the, you know, how the neck comes out of the wither, some of that breed and conformation, right? So I think, Jamie, like with the Andalusians, we think of them as having, you know, in my eyes, a really nice, I like that kind of neck set that they have where the neck like comes right out of the wither and kind of arches up towards their ears, right? That's just kind of how they're put together. However, it doesn't have to be memory foam squishy, right? It can have that nice shape, that nice arc without the squish. So
we're like a hard mattress than a memory foam mattress.
Right, exactly. Well, and you know, there's actually some, you know, and I don't know if there's any science behind this, but there's a, you know, fairly sort of large body of owners anecdotally who feel that if there's going to be fat in the crest, ideally, there wouldn't be any, right? But if there is going to be fat in the crest, having it being squishy is actually better than it being hard, and that it being hard fat may be an indicator of something not great kind of on the way, and that maybe their metabolism is really not doing very well and that you might be heading towards some laminitis. I don't know that we have any science behind that, but certainly there's a you know, a somewhat large body of anecdotal evidence that that may be the case. So I would
actually like to transpose that to humans, because I would like to say that my midsection is healthy fat because it's squishy. So I'm going to go with that's a positive.
I have memory foam in mine.
Oh, okay. See?
Yeah. So ideally we don't want, you know, we don't want any fat there. And I, you know, when the body condition scoring scale was developed, it was back in the 80s. And I, you know, I don't think we didn't know as much about insulin resistance and this is a big word, endocrinopathic laminitis, which just means laminitis as the result of metabolic, you know, disruption, hormonal disruption. We didn't know so much about that. And so the body condition scoring scale, when it looks at the neck, is really looking sort of how does the neck blend into the shoulder, and is it blend smoothly, or is there a big step at the shoulder? There's no really accounting for, you know, the crest fat. And so, you know, when you do a body condition scoring, you tend to keep your hand flat and kind of rub your hand kind of down there, the palm of your hand along their body. But I add to that these days, and I actually kind of grasp the crest and I actually squish it between my thumb and fingers, like across the top of the neck. And, you know, in some individuals, they have so much crest that when you look at them, you think, oh, they don't look that bad. But actually what's happened is they're so fat that the crest has actually like fallen to one side, the side of the mane has gone. The mane has like dragged all that fat over. And if you actually lift the mane up, you find this huge kind of bulge of fat under the mane. And it's just pretty shocking. And it's kind of just hiding there. And, you know, first glance, unless you put your hands on them, you wouldn't even really know that was going on. So it's really important to put your hands on your horses, because just looking can be deceptive. And so I think encouraging owners to do that on a, you know, this time of year, maybe even like every other week, you know, so that you're really being objective about, yeah, you know what, this is getting fatter. Or, you know, and again, if you've got one that runs a little fat and is metabolic, and, you know, I'd argue perhaps you should be asking whether they should be on pasture at all. But, you know, just in managing those horses, you know, I do it, I'll feel those crests every day, because I want to feel how that fat is changing over time. And to me, it becomes part of my daily routine, just like picking out feet.
So would you recommend, do you recommend muzzles or do you recommend dry lots? What's your preference, or both?
Both, right? I mean, it really depends on the individual horse. If I have an individual horse that has, you know, a history of laminitis and recurrent laminitis, that's going to be one where I'm like, you know, maybe that pasture, even with a muzzle, it's just too much of a, you know, too much of a risk. And maybe we're better off, you know, in a good sized dry lot. But yes, I mean, I think for, you know, muzzles can be a really useful management tool. I tend to find that people have really negative connotations towards muzzling. They think it's really unfair. They think it's cruel. They think, you know, they have this sort of negative
energy. My pony thinks it's unfair and cruel.
Right, I know. And then you sort of have to take that kind of tough love parenting role where it's like, well, okay, maybe you don't love this, but I can tell you, you're not going to love laminitis very much either. You know, and that really is unfair and pretty cruel to not take those steps in managing the horse's weight. And then you end up there. You know, people have this vision of, perhaps only people of a certain age have a vision of Hannibal Lecter, but, you know, in a muzzle. But, yeah, I mean, it has that, you know, connotations. But I think a lot of it, you know, I have people say, oh, you know, I approach the muzzle and the pony's like, peace out. I don't want anything to do with it. But I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, if you're walking towards the pony and you're just kind of holding the muzzle up and kind of have that like, oh, golly, you know, so sorry, I've put this thing on you. I know you hate it, blah, 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 you know, type energy. They're not stupid. I mean, they're, you know, they're flight animals. They read energy really well. So if you're coming towards them with that sort of energy, they're like, what the heck is wrong with my human? Like, they're being really weird. Right.
Right.
And then they don't necessarily want the muzzle put on. And then it's like, you're like, see, I knew it. He doesn't like it. Da, 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 da. The other thing, you know, you can make it a positive experience by, you know, feed them a treat after they've got the muzzle, or put a piece of carrot in the bottom
That's
of it
what
or
we
whatever.
Do. Make that it, is what we do.
Yeah,
actually.
Exactly. Yeah. A positive association. And, you know, and again, it's like they learn that they get to go out when they're wearing their muzzle. And, you know, there's some solid research behind muzzles where, you know, we know that it can reduce their pasture intake by upwards of 80%, which is huge. And, you know, all the things that I used to do when I was a kid, when we had, you know, fat ponies, which was like, oh, well, we'll just turn it out for less time. If he's used to being out for 8 hours, we'll just turn him out for 4 hours. Well, somebody actually did the research on that, and it doesn't work because they're not stupid. They just eat faster. So they actually eat the majority of what they're going to eat in a day in the first hours that they're turned out, which kind of makes sense, right? I mean, if you've had horses in a stable and you turn them out on a, you know, nice green field, you know, they might trot off across the field and then they stick their heads down and they'll keep looking out there, and that's what they're like for like the next hour. And it's not until some time has gone by before you look out and go, oh, now he's resting a hind foot and looking at the view and sunbathing and whatever. Like, their MO when they first go out is to eat. So halving the amount of time that they're out doesn't necessarily have a big impact on how much they consume. And actually, they may consume more because they're not stupid. They're just more motivated to eat more quickly in the time they are out.
All right. Very good. Well, I hope that helps some people out there who are dealing with this right now. And you guys have
I never would have thought that they like the same amount of time, but you're right. Oh, they like dive in and then it's nap time after
yeah, that's
that.
Right.
Just like when I go out to dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
All right. You have a brand new pod. Apparently you like coming on this show so much, you started your own show.
I did. Yeah. It's called Scoop and Scale. And actually, this is a very well-timed conversation because our next episode is actually going to be all about insulin dysregulation and horses with insulin resistance. Okay. So if you have one of those fat ponies, listen in, and because that's what we'll be covering next time.
Well, you're already up to 20 episodes, I see. You can find it at scoopandscale.com. And you have a co-host.
I do, yes. Michelle Anderson. She's a great co-host. And between us, we own, a bit like you and Jamie, we own a combination of all sorts of different horses with different backgrounds. It always makes for interesting conversation. And we just did an episode on transitioning to spring pastures. There's a lot more information there if people want it.
Very
well,
good.
I'm sure you know this, but like unpaid advertisement, having Mustangs and Andalusians and now a pony, like I feel like I'm a bit of a muzzle expert, and there is one that just works better than every other one. It's called Green Guard, and it actually comes in lots of colors now. Green Guard is gg-equine.com. And again, unpaid advertisement, but like that is a muzzle. It costs a little extra up front, but then you don't have to buy 12 in one season because they destroy it.
Yeah. So. And I will say, you know, it's worth mentioning about muzzles, whatever type you use, please make sure you put it on a breakaway halter. I don't want anybody putting a muzzle on a non-breakaway nylon halter because their horses and stupid things happen. And one of the nice things about the Green Guard muzzle is they actually have inserts you can put in it to change the size of the holes. And, you know, so, you know, to your point earlier about your Hackney not loving your muzzle, sometimes it's that playing around. I mean, I own three different types of muzzles, you know, playing around and figuring out which muzzle your horse or pony is most comfortable in, because they're all very mm-hmm. different. Like the Green Guard is almost like a box. A plastic box.
Yeah,
that actually hangs.
It's funny because Scooter just twisted that thing around. We couldn't use the Green Guard on him because it didn't work on
him. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them figure out how to eat kind of out of the side.
That's what he did.
Clever with things. Yeah. And so sometimes you can tape the sides or use baling string to kind of, you know, do that. I put a muzzle on my daughter's pony before we scoped him for gastric ulcers. They came out in the morning. I just had one of those traditional round canvas muzzles with the circular hole in the bottom. I came out in the morning and it was under his chin because that one had no way to actually like attach it to the nose. I should have zip tied it on the top of his nose as well as underneath. And I, you know, a friend warned me about that and I didn't do it. And lo and behold, the pony stood there in the morning going, "Ah, this worked really well." And I'm like, "Oh." Anyway, I think Thinline has a muzzle, but yeah, the Green Guard muzzles with their different inserts are really excellent. And then taking some time to learn how to fit a muzzle properly, like it should not be touching the end of the horse's nose when they're just like standing, right? We don't want it rubbing their muzzle. It should be when they put their head down, they kind of push their nose into the muzzle to eat, but the rest of the time, and this should go without saying, but there are muzzles out there that are not for grazing, like bucket muzzles, and don't use those in a pasture situation or for grazing because they don't have a hole in the bottom and your horse won't be able to drink. And if it does try to drink and it fills up with water, that would be really bad. So yeah.
It's a drowning victim. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it should go without saying, but I feel like that needs to be said.
All right, very good. The website for the podcast again?
Scoopandscale.com.
Scoopandscale.com. Thank you, Dr. Claire. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Great chatting with you guys. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Daily Dose Equine Horse Feeds has 1, 2, 3, 4 different formulas that we're going to chat about very briefly today. First one on the list balances the needs of horses who need calories, but they also need a little bit of focus. What's that one called?
It's called Mass No Sass.
They also have a formula that's going to balance the needs of a horse that needs a lot of energy because he is a high-performance competitor. What's that one?
That one is called Freestyle Performance or Trail Mix.
Dun-dun-dun, because yes, trail horses can be high-performance animals. And for senior horses or horses who have dental issues...
That one's called Senior.
Tough to remember. And for those who want a top-quality, non-GMO feed, which is what all of Daily Dose Equine's feeds are, but they also have a really serious budget that they need to stick to, what do you have for them?
We call that product Sweet and Safe.
Well, before we get to weird news, I wanted to say yesterday we were out at the farm. I took the day off and we went out to the farm and finished putting the mats down where the stalls are. And we've been putting this
always
off.
Fun.
Yeah. Well, putting the mats down is not so, you see clamps, you can move the mats around easy. That wasn't the problem. I just knew there were two sections where we had to cut them. And I was like, oh God, I'd spent 25 years since I cut mats and I just remember it being a nightmare. And yeah, you use the razor blade thing, but we got a tip from somebody who said, first of all, clean your mat really good, get the dirt off, but then put WD-40 on the line where you're going to cut. So you just spray WD-40 right on the mat on the line you're going to cut. Oh my God, Jamie, it cut like butter.
Are you serious? Was, do you use like an X-Acto knife or something?
You got to get the really heavy duty X-Acto knife. Don't get the cheap plastic one, but really heavy duty X-Acto knife. And we just sprayed WD-40 where we were going to cut it. It made the world of difference. It really did. It was no problem at all. We got it cut in no time.
So there's a Facebook page called like Horse Hacks and Tips and stuff like that.
That's where we should got it from.
Yeah, you go put it on there. I also just found a hack. Like I got a new saddle, right? So like I'm always having to put it on my cross ties. Like I've got, you know, just like a 2x6 that's on there. And I was like, I really want to make this better. I don't want to scratch up the bottom of my saddle. And on that page that you should post that on was somebody had taken a pool noodle, like a jumbo pool noodle, and cut around the just a line on the bottom. Uh-huh. And then you put the pool noodle on top of your 2x6. And so now there's a beautiful blue pool noodle on my cross ties, but the saddle sit very nicely and comfortably.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, because they always want to fall over.
I'll take a picture of that too. Yeah, yes. And they scratch up the bottom or something. So anyway, pool noodle hack, boom, WD-40. This is the way you come to the show.
And pool noodles in this one. And you know what? You could keep that pool noodle on by wrapping it with duct tape. So perfect.
Yeah, I ended up duct taping it for the wind.
Oh, speaking of saddles, remember a question, first word of problems, we had a saddle conversation on Monday, and I said, let's find out who has the most saddles. Well, we got a bunch of responses, and Andrew so far is the winner. He is an auditor who has 16 saddles.
Oh,
what the and hell do you do with 16 saddles?
I had a bunch when I had like the riding school in Phoenix. I don't know if I had 16, and I'm pretty sure Andrew doesn't have a riding school. So, and you know what's awesome is that the person winning is a boy. So,
yeah, so that's true. I didn't even think about that, but you're right. All right, let's do some weird news.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. It's weird news time. And if you're ever like looking through the news and you see a story where you're like, oh, that is super weird, email it to me, Jamie at horseradionetwork.com with weird news in the subject line. And it is Jamie at horseradionetwork.com. Just like Christina, Michelle, Ina, Delia, Glenn, Lisa, Rachel, Brooklyn, Lorraine, and Holly all did. Thank you guys for sending those. And today, Glenn, we have a theme.
Okay.
I love a theme. You know I love a good theme. And we're going to play, I'm going to say it once, and then we're going to say it together, because I want it to sound like the opening of a game show. Okay, so imagine like some, do you have any game show music that you can play?
I don't think handy.
Okay, well, let's play Guess That Animal.
Okay, we're playing.
Okay, we're going to say it together. 1, 2, 3.
Guess That Animal.
All right, everybody. That's right. Today is the edition of Guess That Animal here on Weird News. And we're going to start with a story that takes place in Sydney, Australia. And there are some individuals that are waiting on the subway train to come through Sydney, Australia. Now, Glenn, if you were waiting on a subway in Sydney, Australia, and an animal walks through...
Am I supposed to guess that animal?
What animal would kangaroo. You think would be in the subway? No, it is not a kangaroo. Any more guesses?
What's the other thing they have that jumps like that? A snake, a very, very big snake that'll eat you in one bite.
No, because in Sydney, Australia, in the railway station, on security cam videos and people, the animal goes by and people flatten themselves against the walls like, oh, my God. It's a very,
Tasmanian
very
devil.
Well-groomed horse wearing a blanket and has four shoes and is just waiting on the subway train. Like, you can see him trotting down. He looks at the trash cans. Like, it looks a couple times
isn't
like he's going to fall.
Subway underground?
Yeah.
How do you get down there?
I don't know. They said after a closed-circuit TV review, the individual was located on the platform at Warwick Farm Railway Station. And he was, after that, they said... This is where it makes me mad. Here you go. He appeared to pursue an informant along the platform before unsuccessfully attempting to board a train. The individual then moved to the car park area where he was taken by his owner and was returned in stable condition. No one involved in the incident is intended to take further action as the individual was only horsing around.
They can't resist. Yeah. You know what, though? You know what I think? I think they were trying to put a muzzle on him and he split.
Yeah. The only thing he's not wearing is a halter, so he probably just lost it. Again, we're going to play, continue our wonderful game of guess that animal. Terrible at this. Okay. Butte, Montana. It's a city in Montana. If you were driving around in traffic and you saw an animal in the road, what animal would you think it would be? Guess that animal, Glenn.
A bear.
No.
A moose.
No.
An elk.
No. It's a giant Asian elephant.
Yeah, that's right. I would have never guessed that. No, I would have never guessed that.
In Butte, Montana, apparently there was a circus in town and the elephant escaped the circus.
I didn't even know they were still allowed to use elephants.
Oh my God, dude, this is legit. Like the pictures of this elephant are like he is in the center lane of all traffic going northbound. It is traffic times and there are people in their cars, I'm sure, just praying, please don't step on my car. It is ginormous. NBC reported that the Jordan World Circus was visiting the city and that the animal had escaped from there. It was safely reunited with its handlers, but it added, viewers say before the elephant was captured, it did number two on a Butte lawn.
You're going to need more than that little bag you use for your dogs for that.
Yeah, I know. It's not going to work. That's funny. It's time for another question called Guess That Animal. If you were in Seoul, Korea, Glenn, you were in Seoul, Korea, in the busy, busy area in downtown Seoul. Guess that animal.
A dog.
No, they've had a lot of stray dogs in Seoul. They eat them pretty quick. And Chad just behind me just laughed because he's been there. He was stationed in Korea today. There's no stray dogs.
Okay.
Cat? So
keep going. Those too.
Probably eat the cats too.
I'm not going to guess bunny rabbit then because they're not there. They're all gone.
Yeah, no, it's not going to be that.
No, I'm lost.
We're going to go with a, there's a video to prove it. A zebra, Glenn. There is a zebra running around Seoul in
That's
Korea.
That's not what I would have guessed.
No. Are you getting a theme here,
Yeah,
Glenn?
I am getting a theme.
So apparently zebra in Korea ran around for hours after breaking out of his enclosure at the Seoul Zoo. Okay. The video is he is running up and down and there's like, dude, he gets trapped like in a alleyway and can't get out. So he gets blasting out. He's running around. How they end up catching him is they had to dart him to get him. And you can actually see them dart him and he's like, oh, and he bucks and he takes off. And then the next thing they've got him on sheets and they're loading him into a flatbed. And he is comfortably sleeping.
Okay. So far, I have not guessed correctly in this game.
We've got one more, Glenn. So the town of Cape Town, South Africa is known as a beautiful place to go visit. It is a beautiful place to hike, but
Lion.
Like it's a ocean town.
Tiger.
It's right on the coast and
Antelope.
It is a place that people go to, good weather, few crowds, low prices, but also it's just like beautiful weather and it's a very, very busy city on the ocean. Okay. So time to play. Guess that animal.
I'm guessing none of my pre-guesses were correct.
Yeah. You haven't got it yet.
Penguin.
Oh, that would be a definite off the beaten track guess, but we're going to go with, it's a neighborhood called Grassy Park. It's a beautiful area, nice neighborhood. People are driving around. And oh my God, guess the animal. There's a hippo on my lawn.
A hippopotamus, this town.
resident.
I don't imagine
Ashraf
they walk very fast.
said police ended up having to pursue the hippo into the yard of his home. And he says, my 74-year-old mom watched from inside the house, very scared, as the hippo came straight for our door. The police were standing outside the yard. It ended up turned and ran up the road. But before it did, it tried to jump over his, like, brick wall that he had set up, and it completely destroyed the brick wall. And those are like the most aggressive, like dangerous, unpleasant animals. Apparently it escaped a nature reserve quite a distance from where he was.
Yeah, so I mean, saw it before it showed up in the lawn.
I know, right? Like the SPCA Wildlife Department said police and rangers were able to herd the hippo back to the reserve. No injuries reported to humans or hippos. I hope you've enjoyed this edition of Guess That Animal.
Well, you got me at all of them.
You mean you didn't guess that a zebra was running around Korea that a hippo was in Cape Town or like maybe an elephant was running around Butte, Montana? I mean, why not?
All right. If they want to send weird news to you, how do they do it?
Jamie at Horse Radio Network with weird news and the subject line.
All right. We're gonna call it a day here. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to be dark because it's normally Equine Affair, and we've done a lot of that last weekend. So we're going to be dark tomorrow, and then we'll be back here again on Friday. All you Apple people, get a new podcast player. And don't forget, we're going to hang around for a couple minutes after here to talk to the auditors about Taco Tuesday. We're going to give a Taco Tuesday update. And don't forget, it is National Banana Day. So go have a banana.
I had one already.
I did too.
I did too.
Have a second.
Babe, neuter, geld.